Okie dokie. We are on page 190 of Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 1. And we're on, I think, the last paragraph. Yep, the last paragraph. And that's where we're going to start right now. And it's December 16th, 2022. Just 2 weeks away from the Great Reset, right? Yeah, they already started doing the Great Reset stuff already, we know. But that's, you know, what they're calling it, but they're just going to set up... they're going to do their best to destroy economies everywhere they can and set up socialism. So, and don't worry about the money you got in the bank. If you have any in there, the Lord will provide. You know, they're doing that, too, to try to stop us from going forth and doing the work. And it's just not going to work for them. It's just like with Goliath. As fortified as he was, he couldn't defeat David. And he thought he was fighting David. He didn't realize he was fighting our God. And that's what the Pope and all them are thinking they're doing. Because the Christian number is so tiny. You know, the remnant of her seed, we're so small. Not her seed. The her in Revelation 12:17 is the SDA Church, the Ninth Hour Movement. We are not the remnant of Catholicism. New Wave. But... anyway, yeah, they're trying to flex. They're trying to attack God's people. Just have the same faith David had. You know, trust the Lord impeccably, and don't worry. And even if the Lord decides you have to take a nap, praise his name for that, because that's a blessing, too. Martyrdom is a blessing. At the same time, you don't have to deal with all this craziness, you know, because yeah, it's bad out there. It's going to get a lot worse. And so, it kind of reminds me, who was talking to... I think it was Brother Alvin. He was talking about this. There was some people, I guess they were going somewhere on a boat. There was a bunch of people on the boat, and then all of a sudden it was a crazy storm. And everybody on the boat was freaking out and screaming and yelling and trying to do everything they can. And they got this, you know, this family of Christians, I guess. And they're just sitting there nice and calm. And one of the people came up and says, "What, are you crazy? Aren't you afraid to die?" And they just looked at him and said, "No, no." I mean, they could have responded with something like, "Oh, my father knows where I live," or my father knows where I'm at. As a matter of fact, that, like, when I became a Christian, actually when I got a lot stronger as a Christian, because I used to have a phobia of tornadoes when I was young because of what happened when I was 12. And I finally got to the point where I said, "Well, my father knows where I'm at, you know, and so it's not scary at all anymore." Kind of interesting. As a matter of fact, out comes the cameras or the cell phones, because we've taken some pictures recently. Well, last 5 years. Because you can see an awful far way out here with all these, we're out in the farmland, and you can see tornadoes. You can see both sides of the rainbow. Even if it's a double rainbow, you can see both sides. That's how much of a panoramic view we have. And that's the thing, too. When I got, like, the last time there was a rainbow, I went out there and I took a video of it, because you can't take a picture. Because it just can't fit. You can't get far enough back if it's close enough to you. So I had to start at the front and just pan all the way to the other side. And another nice thing, too, about where the land, where the rainbow lands on the land, where it hits the land, it glows right there. At least that's what it looks like when you're standing, or however far away you are standing to it. It's not that it's actually glowing. It's just the reflection of the prism action of the... you know, the raindrops. And I like, ever since I was a kid, you always knew. I would think everybody knows this. You know, like when it starts raining and it's sunny out, you run outside, okay, where's the rainbow? Because it's always going to be there if it's raining and sunny. And the way that happens is if you're on the edge of a front line, whether it's cold or hot, doesn't matter, and the rain's coming down on an angle, and you're in the area of the angle, and the clouds are not overhead, they're off. You can see the clouds, but they're not overhead. Yeah, you're going to get your rainbow. And I used to love that when I was a kid. It's so neat. Yeah, amen. Yeah, John Wesley. You think John Wesley said that? Is he the one that said what about the coming year? Okay. All right, so let's start. Bottom of the page, 190. Yeah, 190. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me." What is he saying to us now? What is now? The Lord's now talking to us. He's not talking to Pharaoh, because, you know, we know where Pharaoh's headed. And Pharaoh is the prophetic definition of atheism, or the prophetic definition of, atheism. Yeah, Egypt, is atheism in prophecy. That's why they say that Jesus Christ is crucified in Egypt. The Lord does that to keep the people that don't study Bibles off track. Because if the wicked knew what the Bible meant impeccably, like God's people do, they'll be able to use the truth as an end rush against the people of God. So unless you study the Word of God, you don't understand things like, why would you say Jesus was crucified in Egypt when we all know it wasn't Egypt? Yeah, because it was a prophetic statement. It wasn't a literal statement. I love that. It's kind of like inside information for the people of God, for the children of God, because He is our Father. Think about that. He is your Father. Abba, Father. Abba is like a term of endearment, like we down here we would say Daddy. Anyway, she goes on, quoting the Word of God. It says, "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people." And so again, when the Lord's talking, he's talking to Pharaoh, of course. He's telling Moses what to say. But in our case, instead of saying, go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, we're told to go forth to let my people know. At least that's what the Lord's revealed me about a few months ago. So to the point where I actually have a little pop-up on my screen. I don't know what time of the day it happens. It's probably around the time of my midday prayer where it says, let my people know. And that's what we're doing. We're trying our best, everybody in this church. And that's what I love about this church family. Everybody, from what I know, shares their faith. Even if it's just sharing a smile when they expect a frown, that's sharing faith. So again, it says, backtracking a little bit, "For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto me, or none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send, therefore, now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou cast, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." See, this is like what's going to happen in our day. They're not going to believe any. I mean, they're going to understand what we're saying is absolute truth, but they're not going to care because, like Amos said, they haven't been studying Bibles anyway, and they haven't had any experiences in the Lord, protecting them or answering their prayers. And so when they realize, okay, we can't buy and sell if we go along with your theology, we can't buy and sell, which means I'm not going to be able to pay the rent, keep my job, get food for my family. It's because they don't trust the Lord. They don't realize that He promised that our bread and our waters shall be sure, even if He has to have manna fall out of the sky for 40 years like He did before in a desert. I remember doing a sermon on that where I used the information from a military quartermaster, where he showed what it would take for one day, just one day out of 40 years, he showed one day what it would take to get the water they needed, the firewood they needed, the manna, the food they needed, or anything. It was just trains, train cars, miles and miles and miles long each day just for water. And they're in a desert. And then miles and miles and miles long for the firewood. And a desert isn't known for having forests, so not a lot of wood out there. So, yeah, it was amazing what the Lord did. And He'll do the same for us, but only for His children that know He can do that and will do that because He promised. But if you have any doubt in your heart whatsoever, then He's not going to do it because you're asking Him not to by your lack of faith. I just lost the streams. Hold on a second here. I love the way this stuff works because I can see it blast out real quick. Hold on, I got to go to that server. Oh, it's back up. Never mind. All right. Okay, good. I just got a black flash and it went down. So it looks like it's... Okay, everything's back up. All right, and so... But yeah, we're going to have everything that we need. Not a problem, but you've got to have that faith. You've got to have an understanding. And see, this is... And I always bring this back, and I know you all heard this 100 times from me, but it always brings me back to when I was doing the elevator races with my little brother. My mom was in the hospital having another baby. You know, I don't remember which baby it was. It had to be later on because I was old enough to go on the elevator myself. So I'm thinking I was 10 or 11 or 12. Yeah, okay, this is the 60s. You know, there wasn't a lot of protecting the kids because they didn't start kidnapping them yet. Well, they did, but it wasn't crazy starting yet. And then we would yell, like he'd be in one elevator and I'd be in the other. And he'd go up, I'd go down, and then we'd see the lights. If you stare on the edge of the door of an elevator and look through the crack, and you could see the wall where the elevator is, you know, it's the shaft is, and this was a double shaft because there was two elevators. I could see when his elevator was coming because I could see the light inside of his elevator creeping out from, like, loose bolts or the edge of the doors and, you know, stuff like that. And I'd yell out, and he'd yell out at me. It was fun, right? That's what we did. We were bored. We're always in the hospital because mom's having babies, right? And one time I had to go out, you know, and I came out in a waiting room floor, a floor of a waiting room. And I happened to come out right when the doctor was walking up to the family and say, there's nothing else we can do. All we can do is pray. And everybody started crying. And I thought, well, when you pray, doesn't God kind of get involved and everything's handled now? But no, they didn't have that experience. They didn't know. Neither did I, obviously. But I was like 10 or 11, so I was very naive. But still, I wouldn't say naive because I trusted them, I guess, at that age. Like a lot of little kids do. That's the sad thing, too. A lot of little kids, they'll get really, really strong in the Lord. And then when they get to be age 14, 15, 16, yeah, the world hits, takes over, and then you lose all that. And that happened to me. I went nuts for quite a few years, you know, the 70s. I lived in that period of time. But when I became a Christian, I looked into the Word and history itself, you know, Christendom, you know, or his story, as I like to call it. I noticed that the reason they cried that day is because Christianity has been so watered down, prayer life has become next to nothing. Unless you have a special calling or a special faith, it's just, you know, it ain't happening. And the overwhelming majority of the people says, pray? What has that ever done? Because that's how it is for Christendom now. It's like, and it's not that the Lord doesn't hear the prayers, it's the Lord, he can't react because they don't believe he will. And now we're at the end times, let's say. The boils are about to hit, and you're telling them about, you know, the mark and everything like that. It's in the loud cry. They're not going to understand or even believe because they haven't studied the Word at all. And when you say that you can't buy and sell if you follow the Lord, they're not going to believe the Lord can help them because, like those people when I was 10 or 11, they have never seen the Lord answer their prayers before. Why would he do it now? It's not like you can get that faith in one day because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, right? Romans something. I think it's 10:17. But, yeah, the only way to get the faith is to study the word and, you know, the scriptures daily. And in other words, well, and we know the Lord is the word made flesh. And so when you study the word, you're just having a conversation every day of the week with Jesus Christ. And he's introducing himself to you. And then he starts opening it up more and more and more because now he knows you're serious. He knows you're really, really serious. And you're going to have to be because those days are coming. They're already here. We can no longer say that the end of time is near. We're in it. We're in the final season. And so we got to get ready. And so she goes on. And the scriptures go on and says, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And they just found out recently that, yeah, you can do that. There's actually certain metals, and it's kind of a soft metal. You can actually cut the metal with a butter knife, and you throw it into water, it'll explode. I can't remember what the kind of metal that was. But the fact that this it brought up the every herb of the field. I always got to remember that commercial in the 60s or 70s. It's a herbal herb. Yeah, she was saying that to her husband because he was on, is it a herb or is it an herb? Because there's an H there. And his name was Herb. So she says, it's herbal herb. And so that's the best way. Yeah, okay, thanks, Lawrence. Yeah, potassium and sodium. Because my neighborhood, my next-door neighbor, kitty corner from me on the other side of the fence when I was a kid, at the 4th of July, his dad was a scientist, and he had the potassium and stuff. And they would just take a little tiny, I mean, a very sliver piece and drop it into a puddle on the driveway, and bam, it was really, really neat to watch. So, but getting back to the herbs, me and Joe and Alvin, too, we were all going into that Garden of Eden book, and we found out that in today's world, now, I hope you're sitting down for this because this has been going on for a while in like the church, and there's a possibility it could actually lead to fanaticism, and not one of us is doing it. There's a bunch of people that are involved in this, and so I'm not going to. There's no need to mention any names, but because it's all innocence, it's because we've all some people have just been taken aback, if you will, caught off guard, kind of a thing. But it hasn't gotten to any point where it can cause an issue unless you really do a study on the reasons for herbs and spices. There's only a few spices. What the people are calling spices today are actually herbs. It has been changed. And if you look in the Garden of Eden book, and you'll see all the herbs are to prevent disease. You can eat them and everything. They actually are help. You know, they help all these things. When you have them in your meals, it helps prevent certain diseases. We're actually going to have something to share on the online soon about this. I'm going to do a maybe I shouldn't have mentioned anything because I thought maybe yeah, I probably should have just mentioned it at the men's meeting now that I think about it. But the stream cannot see the book. What book? I'm sorry. There it is. Thanks, Sean. I just realized I didn't hit that button there. But yeah, I was just touching on the herbs there because we just happened to be talking about it about an hour ago, and so we all got to do a pretty good study on that. Well, that's the thing. I want to make sure it's all locked down. That's why, and so I apologize. I shouldn't have mentioned any of that because now we found a way to lock it down. We actually did find a way to lock it down before we mention anything about certain things. Because I always bring up that black filing cabinet I have in my basement that I did all this research when I was young. It has to do with, I completely forgot about that. I apologize, everybody. But we have locked it down, though. You know, a few of us, three men that I know of right now, you know, me, Joe, and Alvin have actually locked it down, and we found out. And the God of Eden book, he actually quotes Sister White and everything in there. But it is scientifically sound in regards to what this is being presented in this book, and so I'll just drop it there. But yeah, we'll discuss that later this week or on Sunday. But yeah, kind of forgot where I was at now. Well, yeah, we still do have to discuss this, though. I agree. I can't end it there. We still have to discuss this because I want to put this online, because that way it'll help. That's what it was about, the black filing cabinet. That filing cabinet is jam-packed with all this research I did, even when my mom was alive and I would take her to the library. But I've never shared it on a website. I've never shared it in a track because around that time I started writing the tracks. And I didn't share them because I couldn't lock it down. Even though my website's got nearly 17,000 pages on it, if I can't lock it down, it don't go on the site. So my site could be a lot bigger if I did go into that cabinet in the basement and start digging stuff. But that's all old. A lot of it had to do with Catholicism anyway, and so I pretty much covered that base. That's why I wanted to lock it down with this other thing that we were talking about earlier. So anyway, she goes on to say that those who regarded the word of the Lord gathered their cattle into barns and houses, while those whose hearts were hardened like Pharaoh's left their cattle in the field. Here was an opportunity to test the exalted pride of the Egyptians and to show the number whose hearts were really affected by the wonderful dealings of God with his people, whom they had despised and cruelly entreated. Oh, that's why I mentioned it, because some people were asking me questions about it, and I, you know, in the spices and stuff, and so I just wanted to let everybody know we are working on it. There you go. That's what I could have just said it that way. We'll get back to you. That'll help prevent me having to send a bunch of emails. Yeah, we are working on it. The brothers in the faith, we're digging in. The Lord is involved, because so far everybody that I know that's involved here are men of God, women of God, and so everything's good. He is showing us things. So that's why I mentioned it. Just let everybody know, because some people are asking questions and they are concerned. And so don't worry, we're working on it. So going on. Now she's quoting from scriptures again. Does it say where? No, maybe on the bottom of it. No, they used to say where sometimes. But sometimes we can figure it out as we're reading it. It's obviously in Exodus. But she goes on. So there, and this is scripture. So there was hail, and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land, smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only, and let me tell you, I guess these were pretty good chunks of hail. And the biggest hail that we've ever seen out here was walnut size. And we got absolutely no damage. I think I shared that last week where an AT&T guy came out here and I had an opportunity to glorify the Lord when he asked, how come everybody out here has got their trees and their lands and their crops obliterated and yours aren't? Even though I'm not a farmer, the farmer that owns the land around me is a friend. And so the Lord protects us and our friends. And so that's why I had, but it was walnut size hail, 5,500 acres or maybe 55,000 acres. I just remember two fives. But it was all obliterated from a hailstorm. And that was just, you know, walnut size hail. And if you've ever seen, you can look on YouTube or any other kind of video site, look for hailstorms. I like that one especially of someone's had a pull, like a built-in pull in the backyard. Those hailstones were probably the size of like plums. And like even small apples, like a tangerine size thing, and they were making some hefty splashes in the water, which means they had terminal velocity already built in, you know, because they fell far enough to where they're not going to speed up anymore. So when they hit hard, and it's not like terminal velocity of a human body, which is 120 mile an hour. I would think it'd be like 50 or 60 because it's a small hail ball, you know. But the ones in Plague 7. They were on a talent each, which is 120 pounds. And some say it's 100, but, you know. And then, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, Sister Lynette, you know, softball size hail, they do have some of those videos. Those literally remove limbs off of trees, not just all that. Because usually what we would see, even when I was growing up, if you had a hailstorm that lasted more than 5-10 minutes, all the trees were bare. All the leaves are gone. The branches, the little dinky branches, the little dead branches, yeah, they fell too. And then, of course, you got busted windows on your cars and houses and dents on your roof if you got a metal roof. Your car had dents all over it. And those were little hail. We never ever in my life have I ever seen softball size. But I guess if you live in Texas and some areas like that, you can get those. Those will kill you. I would think that would kill you if it hit you right in the head. So, but think about that. And that's Plague 7. And according to all the facts, just look this up. I'm going to put the name of the comet in the text chat. It's E-N-C-K-E. Okay, there's some false prophets out there saying that I'm following a magician named Enki. No, look all over the internet. I had never even heard of a magician named Enki because he's trying to slander us. But the thing is, you know, because he got caught doing something there's nothing we could do. And we try to help him. But anyway, Enki is the name of the comet. It always goes through our orbit every 4 years. Always goes through our orbit. But we're usually on the other side of the, you know, our track around the sun, right? We're usually on the other side when that thing comes. But in the year 2030, it's going to sweep our orbit when we're in the same neighborhood. And if that is the timing of our Heavenly Father, we don't know the day or the hour, you know, but the Pope seems to think, and Satan seems to think, because they do have a telescope in Arizona called Lucifer that keeps its eye on the Orion Nebula, as well as other things. It is if they because they want to, now think about this. They want, just put the two and two together. You're always going to come up with the 666 when you're talking about the Pope, right? So they want a one-world government. John Kerry's working on this. He used to work heavily on the climate change, but he's pushing mostly on one-world government by 2030. There's a reason. Think about that. So if 2030 is when they want the one-world government, that means 2030 we'll see Plague 6. Because at the end of Plague 6 comes Plague 7. That's the final plague, and that plague is 120-pound chunks of hail. And that's Comet Encke, because comets are made out of hail. But again, look it up online. Let me see if I can find something for you really quick, just for the sake of doing this, because it'll close the mouths of some of those. I'm not going to use Bing. Let me go to DuckDuckGo, even though they're getting a little bit corrupted now too. But Bing is just useless. Some of their links don't even seem to go where you want them to. Comet. Encke. I did a video on this too, on a blog entry too. I got all caps. So you're going to have plenty of stuff to look at, right? You see anything about a magician? Seriously. I mean, look at how many, let's see, they don't do this anymore. Well, this isn't Google. Google used to have how many websites will show up. Let's check it out. Let's go to Google, even though it's censored. I'm thinking, I wonder if they would censor this on Google. Comet Encke. Okay, that's not right. It's got to be in the millions. 281,000, I don't believe that, so they probably censor it. But yeah, and let's just see, Comet Encke, do that. Okay, see that? Encke will hit Earth 2030 and all this other stuff. Actually, they're saying it's not going to hit the Earth, but the tail is going to sweep across our orbit. Problem is the tail has a 20-mile chunk of ice in it. So either, and when I'm thinking of our Lord, our Creator, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, when he splits the eastern sky and the comet's tail is going to sweep, how easy would it be for him to give it a little shove and make the whole comet hit? Because that's Plague 7. He has to have the tools necessary in the neighborhood when he's going to do what he does, right? He doesn't have to, I mean, he could do a miraculous event, of course, and create a comet. What's this? Oh, not now. Things, browser questions popping up. But for some reason, doesn't show on the stream. But yeah, look at that, 281,000. And I don't see anything about a magician. I've never actually seen a picture of it. Of it, like if they've ever zoomed in, that can't be. That's Temple 1. But Comet High, look, these are all. Oh, remember that, Hale Bopp? You could see that in, like at dusk when we were living in Illinois. We actually were able to see it with the naked eye when we were living in Illinois. We saw Comet Hale Bopp. Halley's, I've never seen Halley's Comet. You know, I think I was too young. I think that one, Halley's Comet comes around, what, every 75 years or something like that, or 76 years? Whereas Encke, it's like every 4 years they're in the neighborhood. Well, our orbit anyway. And our orbit's pretty huge. So, but this is the first time it's actually going to be in the same area of the orbit that the planet's going to be in. That's the very first time. And that's no mistake. And then you put that together with the fact that the Pope wants a one-world government by 2030. What does that tell you? All right? So going on, because he's afraid that... Because all Satan... And it's not so much the Pope, it's Satan in him, because it's his thing is to get things done right before Christ gets here. For some crazy reason, he seems to think that he could defeat Christ, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know if he even thinks that. But... I'm thinking the most he can do is just bring a tear to his eye, but even then, that ends at the end of the 1,000 years anyway. So, even for us. So again, it'll break every tree of the field. And so she goes on. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Okay. Amen, brothers. He will protect us. He did it before. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. I'm the Lord thy God. I change it to that. Right. This is our God. He doesn't change. He is all about truth. You don't have to make stuff up, like the Quran or even the Catholic Bibles. And they're all the Bibles, you know, the edited ones with the thousands of verses missing. They're the one, they keep changing these Bibles because they keep messing up what they're deleting or adding. Because it's like, rut-row, you know, we kind of let our cat out of the bag on that one, so they have to come up with another one. That's why I only put two on my bogus Bibles page, the NIV and the NASB, because at that time when I did that sermon, I was a Sunday keeper. when I did that. This is back years ago on Pastor Russ's pulpit. One Sunday afternoon, and I presented the differences between the King James and the NIV. Later on, when I got the sites and stuff, I put the NASB in there too because it was popular at that time. But yeah, everybody in the church that used to use an NIV at that time threw it in garbage ever since then. And if you have one now, go to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I just say that jokingly because that verse is not in your Bible, along with a couple thousand others. And there's a reason. That verse says you got to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and King and repent of your sins before you get baptized. Well, an infant can't do that. So the Catholic Church had that verse removed. So going on. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Now, here's another way to look at this whole situation, too, with Pharaoh. He says, I have sinned. He started to acknowledge God, right? How many of us have seen people do this? That you're trying to evangelize. Oh, praise the Lord, they finally admit this. They finally stopped this, or they stopped this in their life, or stopped that. Don't give up. Don't think that you can stop praying now. Don't think that all of a sudden they're going to be water-walking Christians in a week, because very easily they could just, you know, in a blink of an eye, change. Go back to their old ways, like Pharaoh did 10 times. So going on. Entreat the Lord, you know, Pharaoh talking to Moses. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. Now here, a lot of people miss this point, okay? Moses is going to go out in a hailstorm, go out of the city and raise his hands to the Lord. And he's not the least bit worried about it. He's not going to get hit with it. Just like you're not going to get hit with it. But the Bible says no plague will come nigh thy dwelling. It's not going to hit you. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And the reason Moses isn't going to get hit by any hail or even worry about it, because he already knows, because Moses is a prophet, come on, he wrote the first 5 books. But the thing is he already knows that the Lord's going to keep that kind of a promise. The Lord, you know, it's kind of like if you're scared about a situation or a tornado, like when I was young. The Lord knows where I'm at. If he wants me to die here in this house, then that's his will. I can't change that. I mean, I'm not going to take a foolish chance and put him to a foolish test. I'll go in the basement still. You know, but I won't be down there shaking and my knees knocking. No, I'll just say, okay, if I'm going to get a new house, it's today's the day, you know, and then, but no, he always protects. Yeah, amen. Thanks, Dwayne. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That's Psalm 91:10. And then, of course, what's Xandex? What is that? It's Russian-based. What's that? I have never even, is that like a search engine, Jesse? I don't know. Anyway, and then Dwayne also put in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. But everybody seems to think that he changes. Why? Because the NIV changes, the NESB changes, the Douay Rheims changes, the Quran. Oh, forget about it. I mean, they literally, they don't change it. They just add to it. And they say, if you come across one of the statements or verses, if you want to call them that, in the older version of the Quran, that contradicts the newer version that was just put up, you got to believe the newer one. Why? Because the truth has changed. and they're going to believe it. The people are going to be, come on, they're out there believing a mask works. I mean, they're designing, what they're doing is the Satan is getting everybody to believe lies, like it's no big deal. So that when the real lie goes forth about, I mean, think about this. He has to make sure everybody's okay with believing lies and running with it. Everybody knows. Anybody that I've ever talked to already knows. Yeah, even though some of them are, you know, have to wear the mask back when we were wearing them, or they were wearing them, they knew it doesn't really work, but they'll do it anyway. And so when they enforce the mark, they're going to know that the mark, that Sunday Sabbath, which is the mark, They're going to enforce to say you have to keep it holy, otherwise the climate change, you know, the climate disasters are going to get worse, and everyone's going to die. Not just your neighbor with the vaccine, you know, or denying a vaccine, but everyone will die, even on the other side of the planet, if you, sir, don't keep Sunday holy. right? And that's what they're going to do. We already know this. We've been preaching this for decades, right? That's where they're headed. But the only way to get the people to believe this is, of course, number one, like Amos said, they got to stop reading their Bibles so they won't see and understand what we see. And number two, they got to be, like the scripture says, a strong delusion comes upon them where they're allowed to believe a lie. I mean, how obvious is that? And so they're all going to believe the lies, and so that when we come forth with the truth, the more convenient to them is the lie, because then they can keep their job. I mean, think about it. You give them the truth, and they know the truth is the truth. They know it, because you have the latter rain upon you, you have utterance. You go forth and you declare it, and the Lord gives you the exact words that will water and give increase unto the seeds that he knows is in their hearts, because he's been sending people to them their whole life, all of them, all 8 or 9 billion of them have he's been trying to reach, right? Then you're going to come up with the final present truth, and he's going to know they're all going to understand it, but what's more convenient to them? To follow after Jesus Christ, who they never saw him do anything in their lives before, or continue on with the status quo, keep their job, buy and sell, whatever. And then when the death decree comes, well, then, yeah, then it's really a done deal then, because that's when Plague One hits. You know, but they're going to be killing even before Plague One. Hence the reason for the death decree, to try to slow it down to something. I mean, Sister Wright goes into detail in SOP 4 about the, like, when the Plague One starts. When the death decree goes forth, the killings stop because the martyrdom's done. 144,000 are left. Plague One starts. And if you're part of that number, we go through it. So amen and amen. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And if you look previous to that, it's talking mostly about homosexuality, but that is an abomination of the Lord, and any abomination unto God is going to, any abomination unto God that's embraced by people, especially Christians, because look at how many Christians are out there saying they're homosexual, or the pastors are, even the Seventh-day Adventist Church is bringing in homosexuality and okaying it and vindicating it. And so even there, they're allowed, they're going to have a strong delusion upon them to send a lie. And it's not that he's purposely sending it, like he didn't purposely do the things unto Pharaoh, even though he did, because the love of God was shared with Pharaoh and Moses. Moses' heart was melted, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Same thing happens if you put a lump of clay or a lump of wax out in the desert. The same sunlight will melt the wax, but it'll harden the clay. The sunlight isn't any different for either one. It just affects either one differently. And that's what happens, especially during a loud cry. Some people, they're all going to hear it. They're all going to understand. They're all going to know it. But they're all going to be affected. The final effect is what's going to happen to them. The final decision. That's why it's called present, or the final warning. Yeah, that's the final warning. The three angels' message. Okay, let's see. Where did I leave off here? So again, Moses is going out there in the hail and asked the Lord to stop the hail. And so again, he's not worried about it. So going on, she says, "But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. After the plague was stayed, the king, Pharaoh, refused to let Israel go. Rebellion produces rebellion. The king had become so hardened with the continual opposition to the will of God that his whole being rose in rebellion to the awful exhibitions of his divine power. The man was demon-possessed, like the overwhelming majority on the planet will be soon. Either possessed or oppressed. But when they finally give up to it all, Plague One, then they're all possessed. Because there's, and it doesn't even matter even if they are possessed or oppressed at that time. Oppressed is upon them, possessed is within them. All right? Because I know I'll get an email asking that. So, yeah, but oppressed means he's like a demon on you. Can't get in, but he's coming at you. Christians could be oppressed because Satan's unrelenting. He's not going to give up. He constantly causes problems for God's people. But when he gets in you, well, you gave him permission. It's on you. So going on, Moses and Aaron were commanded to again go in unto Pharaoh and request him to let Israel go. The Lord tells them that he has suffered the king to resist them and has borne with his continual rebellion that he might... What? Let's see here. The Lord tells them that he has suffered the king to resist them, allowed the king to resist him, suffered, allowed, and has borne with his continual rebellion, has dealt with his continual rebellious nature, that he might show his great, so that he might show his great signs and wonders before him and before the children of Israel. His ways are not our ways, but it works, right? As long as it works. Some of us literally have to go up against the wall. No phone, no job, no home, no money, no kidding. And then, boom, that's when he shines the most for some of us. That's how it worked for me. Anyway, going on, she again quotes from the word of our God. And it says, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done before them, or I'm sorry, among them, that they may know that I am the Lord. Here the Lord was manifesting his power to confirm. Let me see how far this goes. Okay, I'll just do this one more paragraph. And so here the Lord was manifesting his power to confirm the faith of his people Israel in him as being the only true and living God. He would give them unmistakable evidences of the difference he placed between the Egyptians and his people. Okay, yeah, all right. So his wonderful works in their deliverance should cause all nations to know that although they had been bound down by hard labor and had been despised, yet had chosen them as his peculiar people, and that he would work for their deliverance in a wonderful manner. And that's why, you know, Rahab was blessed the way she was, because even, and everybody in her city knew the same thing she knew. The only difference is she bowed her knee to Christ, you know. And so that's why it didn't go well for her neighbors, let's say. But everybody knew in that region, and they know to this day. Even the elite, they know this, but for some unbelievable reason, they seem to think, well, the only reason I can think that they seem to think that they could defeat Christ is because the manifestations of Satan incarnate before their own eyes. You know, those of us that used to mess with the occult know about manifestations. They will appear. You will see things, right? And you'll think that this is a powerful, you know, entity or whatever, right? But usually with just the people that dabble and stuff like that, like I did before I was a Christian, you don't get the whoppers. You don't. Satan's not going to show up to you, right? But he'll send little minions, you know, little demons and stuff. But, you know, there are people, and like that one guy that was murdered for his testimony talked about how, yeah, these leaders in government often do see and converse with Satan, and he shows himself in such a way that they have undeniable evidence in their hearts that he is all-powerful. Even Christ can't defeat him because Christ was a man. That's how they're taught by Satan, right? And if you want proof, go to Revelation 19:10. Just look at what John did when he fell in worship to a good angel. And, of course, the good angel told him, no, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant like you. And, of course, he corrected him and everything was good there. But Satan wants worship. Look what Isaiah says about all that, about him wanting to be God himself, wanting to be worshipped as a God. And so that's why Jesus said, don't go there. If they say Jesus Christ is in the inner rooms or in the deserts, don't go there. He doesn't have to explain himself. If you study the word, you know what he means. If you go there, you're disobeying Christ, and then you will be possessed. You'll have no choice but to bow in worship to Satan, and he won't tell you to knock it off like the good angel did in Revelation 19. And John, the apostle, was one of the favorite apostles of Christ. He had faith off the charts to the point where he was given visions, right? And he fell in the presence of an angel. Satan's an angel, fallen, but he's still an angel. And so if you go out there and you deny, Christ said, don't go there, you don't go there. Just don't go. Don't even put it on the TV. What do you care what it looks like? You're going to see things that you could never even imagine without a TV when we start to ascend home to heaven, right? So don't even go there. Don't even contemplate it. Now, it might not happen for a couple, 3 years because, of course, the loud cries are going to have to go out first, which is going to be a lot sooner than we think, right? And I'm just in my own personal opinion, it has to happen before they do the enforcement of the mark with the climate change thing, with the buy and sell. And they want to do that. It used to be November of 2027, but from what I'm hearing is they changed it to 2028 because of the situation you know, just for the fact that they can't know that they don't know the day and the hour, and the Lord is not going to give them the okay. I mean, look at the real ID. How many times have they changed the date of the real ID? They just pushed it off again because, for whatever reason, I know it's going to be a real controlling method, that ID card, obviously, but the Lord says, no, you can't do it yet, and I'm not going to allow it. And he just stops them, and then they have to set things up differently. That's what just happened with the 2027, because from what I'm hearing recently is they moved it back to 2028, which means if it happens in 2028 and what goes down in 2030, which means they'll do the buy and sell thing all the way through 28, and then in 29, or even in the middle of 29, Plague One hits. And we don't know the day or the hour. It happens because 2029 and 2030 is 1 year, obviously, right? The plagues have to fall within a year. It could be the start of 2030. It could be the end of 2030 when Plague 7 hits. Who knows? You know, we don't know. We just know we're that close. And so we got to get that much more serious and get out there and do what we were supposed to be doing. So next week we're going to pick it up here where Moses and Aaron obeyed the command of God. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer.